So, another week in the books. How many, y'all doing okay? Does it seem like it's not getting any less crazy? Does it seem like it's getting crazier? I kind of just have this feeling, you know, that it's just going to be par for the course for just a little while longer, at least, you know. Just gotta make it a little further. Turn to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1. And I find myself lately just looking at everything going on, and you know, you can't get away from it. Even if you try to get away from it, it seems like you can't get away from it. There's just lots of crazy stuff happening. And so this verse came to my mind, and it's Psalm 2, and I'm just going to do verse 1 in the New King James Version here. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Or plot a vain thing. Huh. I have been noticing it just seems like it's getting crazier and crazier. Let me read this to you again, but I'm going to read it out of the Voice. How many of you have heard of the Voice translation? It's kind of a neat version. I've been reading some of it. It goes this way. You are wondering what has provoked the nations to embrace anger and chaos. Why are the people making plans to pursue their own vacant and empty greatness? When I read that way, that one verse, I kind of went, that's really an interesting way of putting that. And then verse 2, he says, the author of the Voice version put it this way. Leaders of nations stand united. Rulers put their hands together, plotting evil against the Eternal One and against his anointed king, trying to figure out how they can throw off the gentle reign of God's love. I still think this sounds a lot like the world we're in today. The word chaos came up. Seems like a lot of craziness, a lot of chaos. And I don't know about you, but some days I just look at things and I hear things and I just go, what in the world? That's my title for today's message. What in the world? It just kind of, you know, just like, what? And by the way, it's not just our country. It seems to be the world. I heard a report the other day on, you know, some things that happened here and how people in Australia were having protests that turned into riots and looting and stuff in their country over things that happened here. And I'm thinking, really? You're mad at our police department? You know, seems just a little out there for me. It just I don't know what to think of all this. So, as I mentioned last week, Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I mentioned again last week that it's the emphasis is not as much on go as it is on preach or share in some versions. I think that's a better word. There are different levels of preaching, and I've talked about that in the past. If you look at the Greek in the book of Acts, there are like three different levels of that get translated preach. But I don't expect everybody to go out, you know, stand on a block or some kind of thing, make everybody sit down and tell them, I'm going to talk to you now. I'm going to preach. That's not what, but just letting people know the good news, sharing the good news of Jesus. And our country needs the good news. And then we, you know, as preachers, we like to say, go, and like to tell people to go. You need to go. Well, it's more as you're going. So as you're already out there, because you're going to go. Like, you're going to go. You're going to be here and there and everywhere. You do still have to go to the store once in a while. You do still have to go to work. At least I hope a lot of you are getting to work. I think a lot of us are in this part of our country. Things are pretty busy. How many of you have noticed there's a lot of help wanted signs? You can go around. There's a lot of help wanted signs. So, you know, we have a lot of opportunity just to, by living a lifestyle that is different, we have an opportunity to share with people and let people know that there's some good news. Now, some other verses, I want to touch on a lot of verses today, and you'll notice something that most of my verses are going to have the word world in them. So you're going to hear a lot about the world today. Because I started thinking about the world. And the first verse that, you know, go into all the world that I started with had that word in it. And then Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then John 17:14 says, and this was while Jesus was praying. So Jesus is actually talking to God, and he says to the Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So we are this light, and we have the mission that the light of the world himself had, Jesus. We have that same mission to do. And so when times seem dark, this is a chance for us to be the light. And the world needs us to be the light. The light to a dark, dark world. And maybe it seems darker now than it's ever been. I'm not sure that's true. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the... There it is again. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And some of you know, I think that quoting John 3:16 without quoting John 3:17 is a mistake. So I'm going to read on. For God did not send his son into the... to condemn the world, but that the... Yeah, there you go. Might through him have life. You know, God loves the world. It makes it important for us, if our Father loves the world, for us to want to connect this world to a loving Father. John 14:17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, in whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. But we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. The most important thing that the world needs is the Holy Spirit. But the only way they get the Holy Spirit is through those who have the Holy Spirit, because they can't on their own receive the Holy Spirit. So we are carriers, if you will, and what the world needs is a pandemic of the Holy Spirit. Our participation with the world is always with the redemption of the world in mind. I want you to think of it this way. We aren't here for our benefit. We are here for the benefit of the world. You know, God could have had a program that he put in place that the second someone actually really truly accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he could have just given them an individual rapture. And there's been a few people that I thought to myself after they asked Jesus into their heart, would have been better off if I would have just sent them straight to heaven. You know, because they had a lot of trouble in this world, and I think they would have just been happy with Jesus. Mean sounding, but keep in mind that what in the world we are doing. Because sometimes they say, what in the world? When I have to think about what in the world am I doing, what in the world is going on, what needs to be going on is me letting my light shine. So what should our interaction with the world look like? Well, we've already talked about us being a shining light, but I'm asking this because there are a lot of other verses in Scripture. This is where it gets interesting. That talk about the world that we need to keep in the forefront of our thinking. Like John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Whoa. We're not of this world. We're not supposed to fit in. If we are moving by the Spirit, don't be surprised when you move by the Spirit if you don't fit in. You're going counter to the world. When you're moving by the Spirit, more often than not in the world, you're swimming upstream against the current. And by the way, God doesn't want you to fit in. You know, that's a funny thing about the world, because the world seems to want everybody to fit in the same mold, don't they? They want everybody to fit in. But we're never going to fit in. In fact, while God loves the world, listen to what he says to us about loving the world. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, wait a minute. You see, God so loved the world, but I'm not supposed to love the world. It almost seems like it's at odds. It's not. We are supposed to love the world, but we're supposed to love the world the way God loves the world. God doesn't love the world for what the world can give to him. God loves the world for what he can give to the world. Let me say that again so it'll sink in a little bit. God doesn't love the world for what the world can give to him. God loves the world for what he can give to the world. Do you love the world for what you can give to the world? Or are you looking to the world to come alongside and give you what you want, what you need, what you're looking for? I'm going to go out in the world and make my own way and get what's coming to me. What if the goal is for us to learn to be like the Father and love the world for what we can give to the world? What can we give to the world? The Holy Spirit, the light, the love of God. I live to give to the world. I don't live for the world to give to me. Let's consider some more world verses. This is a very worldly message. There's a couple of passages in Colossians that are kind of in a context, and the context is where Paul's trying to talk to the Jewish believers about some of the things that they're doing, and I don't want to get into the wade into those weeds today and get us all sidetracked with that, because that's a whole big thing there. But listen to these verses, and I'm going to kind of pull them out a little bit so that we can think about them together. Therefore, this is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. For those of you who are toggling along real fast, you don't have to. I'll read them to you. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? And then at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We actually used to sing this. You remember singing this down at your dad's church? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Yeah, I know. But you know, we had kind of, the good thing is I still remember the verse. That's the thing. I learned a lot of songs that were kind of hokey with the Jesus people. But you know what? I still got a lot of scripture in me. It was just good. Paul's letter to the Colossians is encouraging them to change the way that they think. And when we have people around us constantly who are constantly telling us how to think, how many of you have noticed that the news broadcasts are less about the news and more about how you should think about the news? It's really tough sometimes to think the way God thinks when we're being told what to think everywhere we look. It was really interesting in the 20th verse of chapter 2, he wants them to think of themselves as though they don't live here. Did you notice that? Do you think of yourself as though you don't actually live here? Isn't that a crazy idea? Like, yeah, this isn't really my home. I'm just hanging out here for a while. You know, we used to talk about that a lot among the Jesus people because we were ready for, you know, we're getting out of Dodge any second now. The trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be gone. I don't want us to get to the point where we're ignoring the world because we plan on escaping the world. But at the same time, God's speaking to us to be careful about how we approach the world as though we don't live in the world, as though the world were our home. You know, one of the things that happens to you as life goes on, some of you know this better than others, is you get old. At least you hope you do, because the alternative is you didn't get old, and that means you're taking a dirt nap someplace. So, as you get older, time just doesn't seem the same, and it goes by so quickly. And I remember thinking to myself as I graduated from high school, I could go to college for 4 years, or I could go into the military for 4 years, but that's forever. 4 years is forever. Remember? Remember when 4 years was forever? Like, I have a life to live. I don't want to do either of those things. I did start out, I started going to college. I don't know whether your husband knows this. I started out as an engineer. Yeah. They told me I had a mind for it. I think they were out of their minds. But anyway, we're not supposed to set our affections on things of the earth. That's the King James Version for minds. Set your affection. He says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Do you know how you can tell how much affection you have for something? Yeah. You can tell how much affection you have for something by how much effect it has on you. I was thinking about this because I was noticing how a lot of what's going on was affecting me. Sometimes if you get a little bit too much information from the world and what in the world is going on, and you're thinking to yourself, what in the world is going on? And pretty soon it starts to affect you. That's because you've got your affection set on the wrong thing. If I can't be joyful, knowing that I have a heavenly home, knowing that my life is more than just what's on this earth, knowing that I'm going to be a creature of eternity in the presence of the living God, knowing that He loves me, knowing that He's put me here on a mission, knowing that He has a plan for me to do that mission, no matter what else is going on in the world, no matter what in the world is going on, I still have something to do. And if the world tries to shut down everything that I'm used to doing the way I'm used to doing it, it doesn't change the fact that I still have it to do and that God will find a way for me to do it. There's a thought. So when I'm like, what in the world's going on? And my affections are turned toward that focus, I lose the focus and the joy and the confidence that I have when I'm effectively focused on the Holy Spirit and what God's doing and what God's telling me to do and who God's calling me to be. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Are you getting this? Okay. The craziness of this world is affecting way too many people who call themselves Christian. And we all have the trouble with it. Oh, sometimes it's not the craziness of the world, like the pandemic craziness or the political craziness. Sometimes it's the family craziness. Relatively speaking, some of your family can make you nuts, right? And I don't want you to lose your affection for your family, but set your affection on the things above, knowing that the light of His love working through you will probably be better for your family than shooting them, which is what you really want to do sometimes. I know. And so God has left us here to affect the world, but not for the world to affect us. Or we could say it this way, God has left us here to infect the world and not for the world to infect us. The world's always trying to pull us in. And the things of the world are always trying to pull us in. And what's funny is, and the world hates us. So what the world's trying to do is, the world's trying to pull us into its mess because it's unhappy. How many of you know, misery loves company? That's what it amounts to. And the world wants to pull us into their affairs. Now, Jesus, by the way, experienced this. One of the fun examples of that is found in John 22. Let me read verses 15 through 21 here to you. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him the disciples of the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" Jesus is always so nice with his words, just so gentle. "Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The purpose of the Pharisees was to get Jesus to take sides politically, get him all entangled in a situation where they were hoping he would either say, "No, don't pay taxes," and then they could call, "Hey, Romans, come on over here. Did you hear what he said?" Or they wanted to get him to say, "Yes, pay taxes," and then they were going to look at all the poor people and say, "Here you go. There's your leader. He just wants you to pay more taxes." Does that sound like anything we see in politics today? Just asking. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? There's nothing new under the sun, family of God. There's nothing new. And I do want to say this to you. As much as the 24/7 news cycle in the world that we live in just seems like it's crazy and chaotic and everything else, we really aren't living in the most crazy and chaotic times in history. Like, there have been other times in history where there were, you know, lots of kings who were just fighting with each other and they were killing as many people as possible because people were totally dispensable and disposable and they didn't care. There have been lots and lots of times throughout history where millions of people were dying because horrendous leadership was doing horrendous things because they just didn't care. It doesn't compare. But that doesn't mean we accept everything as being okay. Like Jesus, we need to look for redeeming answers and find ways to redeem the times, for the days are evil. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 that says that. Redeeming the times, for the days are evil. I used to be, you know, one of those people that tried to just, you know, swat everything that came at me. And I've realized sometimes now I need to be a little bit more like a guy in jiu-jitsu and just take some of the momentum and make something out of it. You know, we've always heard it. They give you lemons, make lemonade. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So what about politics for us? Do we avoid politics? Let me ask you this. Can you be a light in the realm of politics? I don't know that everyone in this room can be a light in the realm of politics, because some of us might get a little too sucked in. But some of us, if we really let the Holy Spirit lead us, might be able to bring some light without getting drawn in. I will say this, though. If we're getting too drawn in, we probably do need to refocus. Take a big deep breath. Everything isn't over if it doesn't go your way. I remember that word affection again right here, and I'm thinking that if some people's candidate doesn't win this fall, and since the country seems to be pretty half and half, maybe it's not really, but you know, they make it look that way. But the answer still is, where is my affection going to be if it doesn't go the way I think it should go? And am I going to be effective? Am I going to be affected by it? Or am I going to still be on my mission in life? Am I still going to be about who God called me to be and about doing what God's called me to do? The cemeteries are full of people who won't be affected by the next election. You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't think if I went to the cemetery and took a poll today, too many of them would be voting. Although that may not be true, but they're not supposed to be. Yeah. So let us also set our affection primarily on things above. And let's remember that we don't want to be affected by everything going around us and swirling around us in a way that doesn't produce for the kingdom, that doesn't produce for Christ, that doesn't produce for the glory of God. Paul uses another metaphor that I think would be good to employ it here at this point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18, he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Ambassadors live in places that they aren't from. And while they, I think, do care about the countries that they are ambassadors to, and sometimes if they've been there a long time and served as an ambassador to that country for a long time, they really start to care about that country. They really start to feel connected to that country. They really start to identify with the culture. And that's not a completely bad thing. But ultimately, their love and their loyalty belongs to the country where they are from. Am I more American than I am Christian? Have you ever been driving along and seen a flagpole with two flags on it, the American flag and the Christian flag? I was driving one day and I saw a flagpole and it had the Christian flag above the American flag. And flags are supposed to represent something. And I think that person was trying to say something with their representation. Now, I don't know that the Christian flag is the one flying in heaven right now. Just saying, the one we came up with. But they were just trying to say something with their two flags, what was most important to them. And I, for a long time, have thought of myself more as a Christian than an American. Because while I'm going to hang around here for a while, I think I'm going to be in heaven. That's the plan. And I'm pretty confident that heaven's my home. And I've been trying to live as though I'm not in this earth, but I am in heaven. I'm trying to be aware of heavenly places all around me. I'm trying to be aware that this is the shadow of the thing to come. We've talked about all these things. So if this is the shadow life and I'm an ambassador here, there's something more. If I can be aware of the more, I can live more from the place that is real rather than in the place that's only a shadow of the real. I love America, though. Historically, this is the greatest country in history. When I say that, I don't mean just because we've got the most power or the biggest army or the biggest navy or the biggest that or the biggest that. In general, this country has been able to do things in providing freedom at a level that had not been experienced up until this country began to do it. A lot of people are mad about the beginnings of our country and how little freedom they think there was back then, and I've got news for them. There was no freedom anywhere back then. And we have progressed in freedom, not regressed in freedom. And there are a lot of people who hate this country, and that grieves me. It grieves me that there are people who are born here that hate this country. That grieves me. And while this country, by the way, has been far, far, far from perfect, it has been a shining city on a hill. Compared to any great nation you can bring up in history. Because up until our nation, most of the great nations in history had kings. And those kings, well, they had full control and they exercised it sometimes very wrongly. Somebody might say Solomon had a greater nation. I don't think that as many people were in as much of a position as freedom under Solomon as they are in the nation of America. And if you don't believe that, let's just sit down and have a cup of, I don't drink coffee, I'll drink tea, and we can talk about history. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just have to remember that. I just have to keep myself focused on that so that when America looks like it's, I don't know, what in the world? No. But my citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen of another realm, another world, and another thing that will eventually consume all the kingdoms of the world. You know, the Apostle Paul was a citizen of Rome. And while it is sometimes important for us to use our natural citizenship, Paul was known to do that. He took advantage of his natural citizenship one time in Acts chapter 22. The most important thing that he did was, though, he never forgot the eternal perspective. It looks sometimes like America could be in trouble. Like we could maybe be going the wrong direction. And so part of my feeling as a pastor sometimes is like, well, what if America does some stupid stuff and it's harder on the people that I love, my church, my God's people? What? How many of you know that that's happened in the past? All of a sudden, in the past, the church was on the outs with the government. Christianity still thrived and survived. So no matter what happens, whether things get better or get worse, we are still the light. We will continue to represent the world we live in. By the way, you will represent the world you live in. Let me say that again. You will represent the Lord, the world you live in. People will hang around you and they'll see the world you live in. They'll see where you're coming from. You can't fake it. You can fake it for a few minutes, but you can't fake it for long. Pretty soon, the world you're most conscious of is the world that you will demonstrate to everybody around you. It's going to happen. John 12:25 says, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. How many of you hate your lives? Actually, usually when someone hates their life, it's like, oh boy, that's not a good thing. Yeah. I'm not wanting people to hate their lives and wish that they were dead. Yeah. That's not what Jesus is wanting either. But he's wanting us to have a love for our eternal life, for our life in Christ, for our relationship with God, for that which is permanent, that we don't get too in love with the temporary. So Jesus uses the word hate because he's trying to make a distinction between the two. Some of you will also remember that he said, you know, somebody came to him and said, hey, your brothers and sisters and mothers out here. And then he says, well, who is my brother and who's my sister? And, you know, and he talks about how those who really love him are his family. He wasn't trying to reject his family. But in comparison, we have to hate in comparison to the level of love that we have for God. And that's a hard thing to understand sometimes. He's not telling us to kick everybody out and hate everybody. He's just telling us to love him with everything we can. And to contrast the difference between our focus on the eternal versus our focus on the temporal. So the next time you're thinking, what in the world? Just remember that you're part of a greater reality. Next time you hear something and it makes you shake your head and you think, what in the world is going on? Just remember, what in the world is not a big deal to those who aren't planning on staying in this world, to those who don't fit in this world, to those who don't belong to this world, for those who aren't called to this world, ultimately. And we just let our light shine. This life, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Is that a song? You think it is? I think it is. I couldn't quite place it, and I didn't have time to Google it. Larry Norman? I used to listen to Larry a lot. I took a girl who had long blonde hair to a Larry Norman concert, and she was mad because Larry's hair was longer and blonder, and she was like, how does he have such nice hair? It was kind of crazy. So let me finish up with one more kind of a thought. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Or let me read it to you again in another version. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay. So does that mean that during my lifetime, the guys that I didn't vote for, God let them to get into office anyway? What are you up to, God? You know, we might not like it, but sometimes God has a plan to use certain people for his glory. Ask a Pharaoh during the Exodus how that worked out. And there are other examples in scriptures where God used people in authority, people who didn't have any restraints to their desire to do whatever they wanted to because they didn't have a constitution like we do in this United States. They didn't have things holding them back. They could do anything, and he used them anyway. He put them in place. Today is less than 40 days to the election. In fact, I think today is 37 days to the election. And I just want to encourage us all to keep our affections, our minds, from being affected in ways that rob us of our peace and make us less effective in our heavenly assignment. Because I believe no matter what happens, what God's called me to do is still what God's called me to do. And my life will continue on the same path until he takes me home. And I still want to live to be 180. But if I don't, it's okay. It's okay. Because I just really want to live the length of time that he needs me to live to do what he wants me to do. And I am jealous of those who have gone on before, because I know they are experiencing something that I can only begin to imagine. Not that I can only imagine, that I can only begin to imagine. I want to pray for us. And what I'm wanting to pray is that we will carry ourselves through the next season that we're about to be going through in a place of peace, place of confidence, in a place of rest, no matter how much unrest we run into, no matter how much silliness is going on around us. I want to pray for us, for everybody who's watching, for anybody who will watch this later, that we would just keep our affections in the right place. And if you find yourself being negatively affected, it's probably because you need to bring your affections back and center them on the one who loves us. So let's pray. Father, thank you. I pray that this word will resonate in us, that it'll plant seeds in us, that'll grow strong, that it'll make us recognize when we are experiencing upheaval and when we're not feeling at peace, that we'll look at ourselves and we'll replace our affections, set our affections in the right place so that we can walk and live and be in this world in a way that makes a difference, not just in ourselves, but in the atmosphere everywhere we go. And so, Lord, I just pray the peace that passes our understanding to just rest on this congregation and rest on those who have heard this message. In Jesus' name, amen.